As this is an all-age service, I will now focus on the scripture readings. It's interesting that when I studied the account of Matthew, that it's a totally different edition from all the other gospel accounts. This story where Jesus enters into Jerusalem. Matthew's version is much shorter. And Matthew is the only gospel writer who provide a quote from the Old Testament and also the interpretation of the crowds in verse 10 to 11. I have said it before, this doesn't come to me as a surprise, because Matthew's first readers or listeners were Jews who converted to Christendom. They were people who knew the Old Testament by heart, word by word. So they knew when Matthew used this, that he's referring to Psalm 118 and also the prophecy of Zechariah chapter 9 and 14. It's interesting that when Jesus approached the village of Bethphage, he sent two disciples ahead to get a donkey and its colt. Bethphage was a small village just east to Jerusalem, or very near to the Mount of Olives. And it dominated the skyline of that side of Jerusalem. Matthew included the name Mount of Olives because in Zechariah chapter 14, it is said that the Messiah would stand at the foot of the Mount of Olives. And Zechariah's interpretation and prophecy was always interpreted as very messianic, because the Jews expected a Messiah to come. It's also interesting that they had to find a donkey and its foal, or a donkey and its colt. Researchers have thought that maybe Matthew interpreted Zechariah chapter 9 wrong, meaning a donkey and its colt. I'm not so sure. I think Matthew knew this was a typical Hebraic parallelism, or a repetition for effect, where the same sentence can be said in different ways. I agree with researchers who pointed out that a fowl can better be handled when its mother is in the same vicinity. I think Matthew was very realistic in his account of Jesus' entry into Jerusalem. It would be impossible for Jesus to just ride on the foal without the mother. The emphasis, however, is that Jesus rode into Jerusalem not on a horse like an earthly king, but on a donkey, as the humble king who came to serve and not to be served like an earthly king. It's also interesting that in those days, officials often used donkeys for civil and not military processions. The crowd reacts to this entry of Jesus. They praise him as the son of David, the expected Messiah. It's interesting at this point that they expected to him to be this Messiah by shouting out the son of David. In their minds, I think they thought of an earthly Messiah, a Messiah who would be like an earthly king who would free them from the oppressors, the Roman Empire that was governing them. But when they shout out son of David, they shouted the words of the Hallel. That's the composition of songs, Psalm 113 to 118. They sang these songs during the Passover. So these songs were at the back of their minds. That's why they said and shouted out, Hosanna, which means, O save, son of David. It was very vivid to them that maybe the Messiah is here. And it's no wonder that Matthew makes the overstatement that the whole Jerusalem was stirred. and asking just one question. Who is this man? I think Matthew is trying to tell us that the whole scene of people throwing clothes and branches of trees on the road was quite unusual for those times. It happened just once in the Old Testament in 2 Kings chapter 9 verse 13 with King Jehu. It never happened again. It was now for the first time. According to the crowds, Jesus is the prophet of Galilee. Jesus was better known in Galilee than in Judea. He spent most of his time in Galilee. And there were regional divisions between Judea and Galilee. But then our second reading comes as a bit as a surprise. Is this the same crowd who just a week earlier shouted, "Hosanna, save us"? The same crowd who says, "This Jesus poses as a threat to the Roman authorities." They accused him of treason. It's the same crowd who just a week earlier shouted to his praise. I mean, how can these people say this of Jesus? I mean, he came riding with a donkey, not as an earthly king. He never posed as a king. And who, and which king on this earth would dare to ride on a donkey? I think people would laugh. But yes, it's the same crowd who changed their minds in just 1 week. What happened in this week? Why did they change their minds? I think it's typical of our human state of mind. We can easily be swayed too from being serious Jesus' followers while we are in church or amongst Christians, to change like that when we are among our friends, when we're having fun with our colleagues. Holy Week is a time of reflecting on our following of Jesus. Are we going to follow him through all our actions of faith, hope, and love, not only this week, but the rest of our lives? Are we going to seriously reflect on our faith and the hope that we share? Are we going to show the world through our actions of love and loving sacrifice that we belong to Christ? Or are we just continuing our week like all the rest of this year, like nothing has happened at all? Holy Week is a time where we come to a standstill. It's a time of repentance and thanksgiving. We are going to journey the Via Dolorosa, the way of Jesus' sacrifice and suffering, knowing every step we take, it must have been you and me. It must have been you and me who had to walk the Via Dolorosa. But God showed us mercy and love. God said, "You do not have to do this. I will do it on your behalf." It's because of the mercy and the forgiveness of God that you and I did not have to go the Via Dolorosa. God forgave us all our sins. He forgave us and freed us from death, from sin, from hell and damnation. He made it possible for you and me to live with him in all eternity. But we need to repent daily. We need to obey him. We need to do what he tells us to do. We need to love like His followers. We need to thank Him for everything we receive from His hand. Holy Week is like journeying on a mountain pass when it's dreig and misty. You do not know what is in front of you. You do not know if a vehicle is approaching you or whether this is the end of the cliff. All you know is that you have faith. Faith in the fact that God is accompanying you. All you have is your trust. Your trust in the Lord, that He knows better and that He wishes you well. All you know is that God loves you and looks after you. And all you know is that you have to continue with your journey, slowly but surely, because you can't reverse or turn around, simply because there is no room. May we walk the Via Dolorosa with our heads up, having faith, having hope, and living love. Amen.